models, say, a little bit earlier, may or may not hit either. It's kind of a wait and watch. The good news, the stakes and the late races are on the grass, and certainly today's turf races will not be, turf stakes will not be affected. The New York and the Gold Cup, there I suppose is a chance that if we do get more, that the nightcap at some point, the 11th, and I'm sure they'll try to get that decision done before 3:30, if it's a consideration, before the pick six starts. Today's $1 pick six, and the 2-day pick six starts with the True North. The main track actually looks very good right now. It started out, if you saw my early morning missive, the track was floated and then later harrowed after, I think, the second break. So right now it actually looks good. If we can avoid some more weather, we will be okay here. And when it comes to the turf course, haven't seen a rating yet. And the assumption is that it would be, you know, somewhere between yielding and good. So as soon as that those decisions are made, we'll get, you know, we'll get it out to you. All right. And plus changes. And there's there is any number of changes to discuss, including a couple of major scratches, one today, one tomorrow. Before we get to those, let's talk about the harrowing situation involving Arad Ortiz Jr. yesterday. And Arad is okay. I imagine most, if not all, were aware or had word that Arad was dropped mid-stretch in a rather bizarre situation. And, you know, some people thought maybe that the filly that looked like, you know, she was on her way to victory for Chad Brown, Equal Pay, this was in the fifth, she didn't spook. She kind of stumbled. I just actually talked to Mike Salido, Junior Alvarado's agent, longtime Junior Alvarado agent, and Junior was right behind, and he said she just, you know, shoulder dipped, and she just, you know, didn't take a clean stride, and it took Arad by surprise. And what is fortunate, and Junior told Mike, he thought he grazed them, but great job, an amazing job by Junior Alvarado to avoid a prone Arad Ortiz Jr. He went to North Shore and was evaluated, is more or less body sore, is going to be off probably 2 weeks. And I just, in that conversation with Salido, said, do you remember? I mean, there's been the occasions. The one that comes to mind immediately, of course, is Animal Kingdom and Robbie Alvarado giving Johnny V the opportunity to ride. But when it comes to a 2-day slate of mounts for one rider that were lost by this incident, it is astounding. And let me give you a rundown. We're getting, I've gotten two confirmations in terms of riders being named. In the True North, for instance, which is the first stake mount that Arad would have today, Firenze Fire, already Kelly Breen not thrilled, given the potential for a wet track. If the track stays anything close to the way it is now, not a concern. It'll be fine for Firenze. Jose Ortiz picks up the mount for Kelly Breen on Ron Lombardi's Firenze Fire. Waiting for word from Lupe Preciado about Chubwagon. Chad Brown has got to get a rider for Virginia Joy. Mike Baker needs one for Conviction Trade. Conviction Trade in the Gold Cup, Virginia Joy in the New York. Chubwagon, of course, in the Bed of Roses on Saturday. And certainly, you know, Firenze and you know, Chubb are both, you know, both were heavy, at least serious favorites in their respective races. On Saturday, I read named on Drain the Clock, and Nick Cassato and Safi Joseph have a couple people in mind. They're still kind of working it out and still discussing. So nobody named yet for Drain the Clock. Moretti in the Brooklyn for IRAD, and Todd Pletcher have to make a decision there. Search results for Chad Brown and the even money favorite in the Acorn. Mentioned Joe Sharp, Fast Boat in the Jiper. Johnny V picks up Fast Boat. So those are the two that we were able to get information on. Waiting to hear back from Fausto Gutierrez about Latruska in the Ogden Phipps. And since we got to the Ogden Phipps, let me tell you that in addition to Valiant's scratching this morning, about an hour or so ago, Kenny McPeak had to scratch Swiss Skydiver. And this has been a run of bad luck. And, you know, considering we talked to Kenny the other morning, it just, it's got to be very, very frustrating. And, you know, after King Fury and, my God. So Swiss Skydiver and Valiance exit, you know, the highly anticipated Ogden Phipps. And that leaves a pack of five. Latruska, Queen Nakia, She Dares the Devil, Water White, and the off-mentioned Bonnie South. the Bonnie South is now a play against. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Because after all the couple of days of mentions and the hopes of getting a number on her. Back to IRAD's mounts. Pocket Square in the Just a Game for Chad. Mischievous Alex and Chuck Zackney also, and Safi Joseph, again, they have not made a decision yet. It seems like there's a real chance that Jose Ortiz will land there in the Metropolitan. And then Todd Pletcher in the stakes double, the late stakes double of the Manhattan and the Belmont. Colonel Liam. I mean, you want to talk about a roster of calls for a weekend. Bad timing, and a freaky incident to sideline Arad. I feel terrible for him and for all the connections that, you know, and it's unnerving, but it's just one more element of the challenges in the game. In the Belmont, known agenda, Arad will need to be replaced. So there you go. That's the rundown. And we'll keep this over here so that we can add. There'll be scratches, I would think, as early. First post is 11:30. The first two races are off the turf again. I mentioned right at the top of the show. Everything else right now continues to be on. And even with more rain, if it comes, there's not a concern, I don't think, at all about the Met and the, I mean the Met, the oh, my God, the Gold Cup and the New York, all right? I put up the picks and plays, including the 2 days. I'll have to try to take a – yeah, I'll be all right. I'll have time. We'll have time after noon, the first – yeah, we'll have time. The – right? Yeah, I'm just seeing what time we get to yeah, the first stake is the Tremont, but then things don't pick back up again until 4 o'clock. So, yeah, we got plenty of time to make any. If there's any further news and adjustments to make, we'll have time for it, considering that the two-day wagers don't start until the True North. And there's the sprint double, and there's the, the two-day 20-cent pick six. All right? So I purposely didn't handicap races 1, 2, and 3. And now, actually, speaking of scratches, kind of glad I didn't try to do an early pick 4, early pick 5 approach, because little dramas. Mike Welch, with a tweet about 20 minutes ago, that little drama, the Asmussen 2-year-old, is coming out of the Tremont, which at 1-2 is a major, obviously a major defection. So that becomes a 5-horse field. And I'm sure a lot of people that were interested in the early action were going to lean heavily on little drama. So when the rest of the Friday scratches come along, we'll get them. Let me tell you what we're doing this morning. We've got, oh, actually, Safi Joseph hitting the track apron. So if we flag him down, we might get some further thoughts and see if you know, where he stands with Drain the Clock and Mischievous Alex. The weekend preview brought to you by Twin Spires. Let me give you the lineup. We've got Ed and James, of course, going to have Hammer and Jimmy Ventura. Unfortunately, not here in person, which is too bad. Dave Grenick, of course. We'll talk to Dave in hour two. Nick Tamaro arrived in New York last night, and Nick will be by. Dave O'Rourke, as I mentioned late yesterday, we kind of reoriented and got Dave lined up for the end of the show. All right, so we'll have our kind of a decompression and a good way to, after intense handicapping, to close out the week here at Belmont Park. Let's talk a little bit about what went on yesterday. And in addition, obviously, there was action beyond the incident that knocks Irad out of action here for a couple of weeks. Before the stakes ever rolled around, as we mentioned, there was a lot of interest and expectation for following C, the Run Happy Colt, coming back and making a start here in the East, now under the care of Todd Pletcher after Spendthrift sent the smashing Oaklawn maiden winner out of the Baffert barn into Todd Pletcher's care. And the following C was very impressive. And you know, I give a lot of credit. I mentioned yesterday, you know, to take a look and watch for that Rudy horse on the inside. What do you think now? And Stuart Grant, Elkstone, who really tried and knew exactly what was up against. But Luis Saez giving Rosario a little bit of sparring action before following C kind of doffed him and continued on his way. No figure yet, but visually as impressive as can be. 6.5 furlongs is such a funny, weird distance, to be honest. And undoubtedly, this is a super talented horse. So we'll see what. I didn't see any notes from when Dave Grenick joins us. We'll see what he heard from Todd. I mean, certainly if they want to keep him in this range, he's out of a Spitestown mare too. So they may want to keep him short for now and make the Alan Jerkins the mid-season goal. That right? The Amsterdam and the Alan Jerkins. If I had to just guess, top of the head. The first of the stakes action, absolutely delighted, and we'll look forward to Monday probably to talk to Michelle Lovell. And Change of Control comes to New York for the Intercontinental, and Colby Hernandez's first graded stake win, and could not have ridden the FedBiz mare better. And absolutely thrilled for Perry Harrison, the owner, and Michelle Lovell, who you know is a is a bit of a house favorite, whether it's, you know, whether it's the circle of friends that she has in Kentucky. Just does a tremendous job. It's consistent and has proven repeatedly for an extended period how capable she is. So congratulations to Michelle Lovell and Colby Hernandez. Win the Intercontinental. Just kind of bided the time and came and picked off Petey Bianchi, and, you know, won easy. So that started the festival stakes action. Then came the two-year-olds, and, I mean, Happy Soul was, what, 1-9? And then went out and ran like it. This is Gayla Rankin's Run Happy Filly out of a Stephen Got Even mare, and she wins the Astoria just by open, what, a dozen lengths, as expected. I mean, it was a paid workout. She's actually a May foal, too. So she's given away a little bit of age. She got beat by Nakatomi in the slop at Keeneland when she was even money as a favorite, but then came back at Belmont in May and won basically by the same margin and in the same style. So a very nice, obviously a very nice baby for Gayla Rankin, and this was bred by Harris Training. Was just a $50,000 Keeneland yearling. How about that? And then the Wonder Again. And if you haven't seen the Wonder Again, this was really a fun race. For the longest time, Luis Saez up on the lead with Jouster. And Jouster was like, what, third choice, second choice? Jouster was second choice at little over 3-1. Gift List actually went favored, the Brian Lynch. And Jouster turned for home and was getting the patented Luis Saez lull him to sleep up front. And you could tell when you see splits like we got yesterday, even though they were calling the turf good at that point, chances are it was softer than good because 25-2, 51-2, 117-4, yeah, that those are splits on a softish course. There's no doubt about that. So we'll see. I'm anxious to see what they call the course today. Anyway, just as Jouster, you know, off the turn and top of the stretch looked like maybe he was going to spurt away, which is something Louis does, you know, as good as anybody. All of a sudden, everybody came closing in, and Con Lima, Flavian Pratt, yet again, showing his savvy, and, you know, he stayed in contact while some of the, you know, the late runners were a little bit, you know, too far out of it, and it's tough to quicken. When you have a softish turf, it's not easy to quicken like it is, you know, on firmer going. So Plum Ali was rallying under Joel Rosario, got there too late. Gift List was as well. And Plum Ali falls short. Terrific ride. And that's something that, you know, listen, Flavian Pratt at this point is no surprise. And nobody should be doubting anything when it comes to Pratt. And it's very interesting. When I put up the list of mounts that Irad was going to need to be replaced on, somebody, I'm not sure, I forget who it was, I've asked, you know, Pratt, and so I looked up his open calls, and he's got the dirt, he's got some of the dirt races, he's booked up on the turf races, but it won't be surprising if Pratt picks up one of the mounts or two for IRAD. So that was yesterday, and then things closed out after Con Lima, who of course is Todd Pletcher, and Aaron Wellman's Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners, and a host of other partners involved. Commissioner Philly, out of a Consolidator mare and a Texas bred, is Con Lima. Pretty cool. So Eclipse is a Philly factory. It's unbelievable. Philly Steaks Philly factory. They just not that they haven't had, you know, good Colts as well, but it just seems that. And I'll have to ask Aaron next time we talk. I mean, how much of it is residual value reaching? And then finally, in the nightcap, I'll mention that Shug, Claude Ray with Star Command, and that was a terrific finish. Star Command for the Phipps's. This is Orb Philly, four-year-old, breaks her maiden, and took her seven starts. But she had been competitive, and she was good in here, and got a nice ride from Jose. And Pratt showed up here too, with Chad and Michael Dubs split then double. Good nightcap, going a mile on the grass. So that was yesterday, and I should mention also, that was in the fourth, I think, right? The Hennig, Furster, lit up the board and punched up the multi-race wagers. So, day one, and we're here for day two, and James Scully joins us now. And, James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. Not at all. Wanted to get a good look, mostly at tomorrow, but because of the two, you know, the two-day wagers, we probably need to, you know, to hit a few things from today. And, you know, I don't think we need to look at much else. This is an embarrassment of riches between today and tomorrow's cards.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, in the True North, it's just tough to get past for Inspire in there. I mean, he's going to be a short price. But I just think, you know, he loves Belmont. Well, you know, we'll see what the track conditions like. But looks like it's going to be pretty good, and it looks like he's poised to run a good race, I would think. I do have a little bit of a price play in the Bitter Roses today. I really liked the race last time by number three, Alondra. And this four-year-old Blaine Philly, Steve, her first two wins in her career came wire to wire. Last time in this allowance race, a pretty nice allowance on May 15th, she sat off the pace, actually last of five down the backstretch, and really offered a nice run, showed a new dimension in a sense. You know, this is a filly that after she won her career debut, Shug ran her in a couple stakes. He really backed off her last year. Something went wrong with her when she went back to Stakes Company in July. And I just look at the whole three-year-old season. I mean, she got some experience, but she's poised to take it to another level, it looks like, off that allowance win. I think this is a good spot for her. And I'm going with Alondra at 15-1 in the Bitter Roses today.
Interesting. And that, of course, would hook up with the Acorn as well. And when we get to Saturday's slate, mm-hmm. because if you can find a horse like Alondra in there, I thought Byerness for Cherie is okay. And that Estio Talentoso,
yes.
I'm going to use her on the outside as well.
I'm going to definitely use Estelio in my multi-race wagers, because I did think that was a really good third. That filly has just gotten, you know, it's gotten really good in her last, you know, last couple races. I mean, she ran okay earlier this year at Tampa and Laurel Park, but I really like her last two efforts. Obviously running, you know, finishing a length behind Sconson, who came back and ran so sharply into her next start. That was a really tough field last time.
I agree, and that actually I'd already kind of liked what I was seeing, and then when we were checking company lines, that reinforced my interest. And look, if Chubb Wagon runs close to that crazy workout down in Philly, you know, she could just run them off their feet. We are going to be interested to see what. Lupe Preciado is going to do after losing Irad, how he deals with it. And actually, it's funny how many races kind of notable, actually, that there's quite a few races where Jose can just kind of step in for his brother, mm-hmm. and this happens to be one of them. And it, and also, style-wise, Jose would fit Chubb Wagon because he's certainly comfortable out on the lead. So we'll wait for a decision from Preciado on the 9-5 favorite Chubb Wagon. Okay, what about that New York, James? Because this is one of the weekend's deepest, most interesting groups.
Yeah, I thought that was a really, I thought that in the Gallarette on Preakness Day, Mean Mary came back, really had everything her own way, but I thought it was a solid race. I thought her season last year sort of, really, like, after she ran a huge race in this New York last year, she only ran twice more. She ran in the Diana and the Breeders' Cup. I'm encouraged to see her come back on the three-week turnaround here for Grand Motion. I expect her to take a run even better in the second start back, and I think she's going to be tough as nails in there. Obviously, it's a good field with Harvey's Little Goal and that Thundering Night. Really, I think could be tough, especially with some give to the ground. But Mean Mary's my top pick in there, Steve.
Interesting, and just because it does feel like there are horses that are going to be flanking and want to be on the point, or at least in the vanguard. So she's not going to lead him around, completely on a merry chase, I wouldn't think.
No chance. Yeah, I just expect her to be a lot sharper. And, she got a good taste of that, in a couple of those last, in the Diana and Breeders' Cup Philly American Turf. And I just think she's going to be better off for those experiences and tougher this year at age five.
Unbelievable. And advised here, Chubb Wagon. Dave Grenig reports is out of the Better Roses, that is a major scratch. And Preciado telling Dave that she will run in Maryland in June 13th. I'm not even sure what card they've got coming up next week. How about that? That's really too bad. Also, he adds that Flavian Pratt has picked up Virginia Joy in the New York. So let me make that notation as we keep tabs. How about that? So Chubb Wagon, that's going to have to cause some rework on the middle multi-race wagers. And I will mention just races that are, or wagers that are affected on that front, include the Fillion Mare Double, which goes to the Acorn, as well as the $1 Pick Six. Part of that, it's part of the Grand Slam and the Pick Five as well, and it is the start of the late Pick Four, and I think it's the last leg. Is it the last leg of that? There's a middle Pick Four as well. The middle Pick Four is only tomorrow. So okay, so I think the fifth through the eighth tomorrow is also an added Pick Four. I was laying out the charting of it. All right, so no Chubb Wagon and Pratt on
Virginia Joy.
Yep. All right. Well, this is
good. It takes some keeping up with all the different bets they have today and tomorrow.
All right.
Let's go right into Saturday's card if you're ready.
Well, what about the Gold Cup, James?
Oh, that's right. I forgot the Gold Cup. Yeah, I wound up, it's going to be off. I think, Baron Samadi is going to be, it's going to run a big race, and it's going to be, tough for Joseph O'Brien, but he's also going to be a real short price. I don't have a strong conviction in my pick here, but I do like a conviction trade a little bit off that fourth place effort last time at Keeneland for Mike Maker. You know, thought he ran pretty good three starts back in that John Conley. And he's just a horse that, to me, he has good. He was far back in his last two races, but he could sit a little bit closer to the pace. I expect, you know, number two, Tide of the Sea, to show speed as well for Maker. And those are two horses that I'll look to perhaps, you know, add to multi-race tickets just in case that Baron doesn't show up with his best efforts, Steve.
Very good. All right, let's turn to Saturday. James Scully with us. James, what do you have written up? What's on the Twin Spires blog?
I'm doing the pick five into the Belmont Stakes, but before I get into that, I will mention that I'm going to go right back to the well in the Acorn Stakes with Obligatory Steve. I think there's some pace. I mean, obviously, there's some pace in the race. Miss Brazil being in there. It'll be interesting to see where Travel Call shakes out from, but Day Out of the Office will be forward as well. And 36-1 on the morning line, I'm thinking 5-1 is probably, you know, might be okay.
Nice. All right.